Yeah, so as the vehicle actually gets older, there's two things, right? One is the engine and the IC powertrain are getting more and more inefficient, thus causing more pollution as they get older because of wear and tear, etc., etc. But then you also have the question of structural integrity of the vehicle itself. What EMOS does really is very different from your typical combustion engines, and we are kind of a one-stop shop for all things electric driveline for commercial vehicles.
Welcome to Mindful Businesses, presented by Sarani, and I'm your host, Vidya Iyer. In our podcast, we bring to you brands which are mindful in their practices and processes. A mindful business adopts and employs sustainable social, economic, and environmental practices. Today, we have with us Karan Shah, Director of EMOS, Future Inside. He joins us from Solapur, India. Welcome, Karan.
Thank you, Vidya. Nice to be on your podcast.
So tell our listeners who have absolutely no background in automotive or any other kind of engineering, how does an engine actually work?
Yeah, so a typical engine, a combustion engine, works on the simple principle that you have air and fuel that mixes at a certain temperature, generates power, and that kind of moves the pistons and the cranks and the entire powertrain and generates the power to drive your wheels, really. And what happens in this process is that because of the combustion of fuel and air put together, you obviously have exhausts. And we have been talking about carbon emissions and particulate matters and nitrous oxides and things like that. Those are the byproducts of a typical engine.
So those would be the internal combustion
engines. Yeah. The normal engines that we are used to hearing about.
So the combustion, the energy source for these engines is, correct me if I'm wrong, it's the gasoline, which is triggered by the battery, right?
No, so in the combustion engine, the fuel, which is gasoline or diesel or ethanol or any of the fossil fuels, are heated up to a certain temperature and it ignites, and the ignition causes the parts of the engine to move, and that's what generates the power. So that's your traditional engine. And what EMOS does really is very different from your typical combustion engines. And we are kind of a one-stop shop for all things electric driveline for commercial vehicles. And that's something that we have chosen to do as the business model.
How does the electric driveline work as compared to the ICE, the internal combustion engine?
Yeah. So in the electric vehicle or an electric driveline, there is no combustion, right? There is no fuel, there's no petrol, gasoline or diesel or any of these fuels. Essentially, what you have is a battery pack on your vehicle, which discharges at a certain rate and runs a simple motor that's mounted onto your vehicle, which then drives the wheels. So you don't have the part of combustion does not exist in this vehicle anymore. Whereas the batteries, which are the typical ones that you've heard of, are the lithium ion batteries, store energy as you charge them. And as you drive along, the batteries are discharging and powering your wheels.
So I want to simplify it. It's like your fan running, your table fan running with electric power.
Exactly.
But instead, you have a battery which is giving energy to the motor, which is spinning and making your fan run. In this case, of course, it's far more complicated with hardware and software interface, which is making the car run.
Exactly. You're right. So whereas your fan is running directly on electricity, the only difference in a vehicle is that you use the electricity at home or at your office to charge your battery, and the battery then delivers that energy to the vehicle, to the motor.
You are based in India and EMOS is based in the Netherlands, right?
Yeah.
So where are you operating? Are you working with vehicles in India or in Europe?
No. So let me give you a little bit of background on the business. So EMOS is a company that has been around for the last 10, 12 years or so. The company has actually been a pioneer in the space of electric mobility for over 10 years now, and has had several vehicles, several technologies, several patents to its name, which is why it has a very reputable name in the industry at this point. Only 2 years ago did we as a business acquire this company because we wanted to have a footprint in the sustainable, in the green development of the drive lines and vehicles, and we wanted to have a foot in this door, and that's why we acquired the company. So the company is very much based in the Netherlands. We, as the parent company, sit here in India, but we have a great team over there who runs the day-to-day business, who deals with the customers, etc., with our support. But yeah, I think that's kind of how it is. Most of the business is centric to Europe, to North America, and also to some parts of Australia and New Zealand. That's where we sell our products.
How many, say you take India? India has a lot of old cars. How will I know that my car is eligible or is okay to be fitted with the new EV system? Would you call it electric? What do you call it?
Like a driveline. Yeah, but so look, I think what we do is we work especially in the commercial vehicle space. Now, if you look at it from a sustainability point of view and from a being green point of view, the commercial vehicles are actually the ones that cause the most pollution. You have your big trucks and your buses and your waste collection trucks and delivery buses, delivery trucks, etc. These are the gas guzzlers who are running on diesel or petrol and really creating a lot of that pollution. So what we do is essentially provide an alternate to the customer who has these commercial vehicles to make them fully electric, to have zero tailpipe emission is what we call it. You have zero carbon footprint coming out of your vehicle. And that's what we aim to do, because these are the high carbon footprint kind of vehicles. So if you have any vehicle really between, say, 5 tons of gross weight all the way to 50 tons of weight, EMOS has the capability in-house to convert these into fully electric by the means of retrofitting. Or what we also do is we provide our electric driveline kits to the OEM, which is the original equipment manufacturer of the vehicle, and they assemble it onto the vehicle from day one. So there's no retrofitting here, but it's an electric vehicle from the start of its life, which is even better.
How much does that extend the life of existing vehicle, right? So my gas guzzler, because its engine life is ending, and now I'm retrofitting it with your kit, how much does that extend the life of the vehicle?
Yeah, so as the vehicle actually gets older, there's two things, right? One is the engine and the IC powertrain are getting more and more inefficient, thus causing more pollution as they get older because of wear and tear, etc., etc. But then you also have the question of structural integrity of the vehicle itself. So what we typically do is, once you have converted from IC engine to our electric driveline, we say that you can get more than 7 years of useful life on this vehicle.
That's pretty cool. That's basically almost as much as a brand new vehicle, right?
Yeah, exactly. Exactly.
Because the commercial vehicles are used for 5 to 7 years in most time.
Exactly.
So as an individual, do I have access to these kits or not possible?
I mean, yes, you do, but it would be far too expensive to do one off. If you had a bus or if you had a truck and you wanted to get, you know, one off converted, it would be too expensive to do so.
So talking about cost, so how much would it cost? Say I'm Citybus and I have 100 buses in my fleet and I want to convert them to your drive. How does that work?
I wish I could give you a perfect answer to this, but it really depends on a lot of factors. So it depends on how much range do you want to get out of it, right? Do you want to drive it 200 kilometers or only 50 kilometers on one charge? How much horsepower and torque do you want it to have? Is it air conditioned, not air conditioned? Is it going to be driving in slopy areas or flat areas? So a lot of combinations and permutations really have to be worked out to do that. But give or take, if I have to give you a real ballpark, if a new bus costs $100,000, then it's going to cost you about 1.3 to 1.6 times of that to convert it to electric. And a lot of that cost is typically coming from the battery pack, which is still, you know, the driving factor for the cost.
Battery technology is changing rapidly, right? The Tesla's is investing so much money and all that. So where do you make your batteries, and how do you have access to the technology which gives you reliable and long mileage, you know, a battery which gives you sufficient mileage to get you to your destination?
So like you said, right, there are big players in this market, in the battery technology space and the battery manufacturing space, who are doing it at a really large scale. You do have Tesla, you have the Korean giants, you have the Chinese giants. So we as EMOS, as a small company, are not, you know, outfitted, or we don't have the ability to produce our own batteries. So therefore, we tie up with battery suppliers or manufacturers to buy batteries from them for our vehicles. What we do, though, is that we engineer the batteries for the use of the vehicle. Imagine using an electric vehicle in the cold Scandinavian part of the world, whereas using it in the hot Indian climate or the Australian climate, very, very different. So the way the software is kind of built to run the battery system, which we would call BMS, battery management software or battery management system, is something that we develop in-house. The way the thermal management of this battery works is something that we develop in-house. So we do buy the individual batteries from a larger manufacturer, but we do all the integration in-house.
So the software interface, because a lot of it is software in these cars, right?
Exactly. So that's kind of the USP of our company. What we do is we're not a manufacturer of any of the components, actually, if you think about it, in the electric driveline. The brains behind the company is how do you make this all work together? And I think that's how do you purchase the right kind of technology? How do you get the right kind of components? Make them mate together and work together seamlessly and provide the customer a great experience when he's using the vehicle. I think that's our selling point.
But all this requires an infrastructure. You need the charging stations. And in America, charging stations are increasing rapidly. And, you know, your car will tell you the next charging station is so many miles away. And what about other countries? How about India and Europe?
So Europe is actually very, very good in terms of the charging infrastructure. I would say almost like the US, or perhaps better in the more denser parts of Europe. For example, in the Netherlands, in Germany, in Sweden and Norway, the charging infrastructure is fantastic. So you don't have anxiety of range all the time. But unfortunately, that's not the same case in India. We have a great dream of electrifying vehicles in India, but the charging infrastructure that needs to go along with it is severely lacking at this point of time. And I think there are positive steps in that way. You have all of the larger infrastructure companies and oil companies investing into charging infrastructure in India, but it will take some time to get at par with the Western part of the world.
So how much government involvement is required for the infrastructure and even giving you the